Hear the joyful sound of my offering this morning. As the saints bow down, and your people say, we will rise with you, lifted on your wings, our God and the insane. Praise the Lord.
good to have you here with us. We see some of the snowbirds have come back. We're glad for that as well. Good to see you. Glad that you're joining us by Zoom as well. Wherever you may be, we greet you as far away from Milford, Iowa as we can be, but hope we are close to you in heart and in spirit this morning. I got to tell you that I've got a cousin here that I've never met before. Came all the way from Red Wing, Minnesota. And Becky Kirks is her name. And when my ancestors came across the ocean, they settled in Red Wing, Minnesota. And boy, it was a number of years ago. I don't really check my emails very often at the church. But I checked and I go, here's one from Becky Kirks. And she said, Are you from Frank Volth's side? Now, Frank would have been my grandpa. I never met him. He died the night before he was going to come and see me when I was born. And I know that should have been a sign at the time. What was in store, I don't know. But now, Becky's grandpa was a brother to my grandpa. And so there's a connection. So her grandpa was Henry. And so Henry and Frank were brothers. And I've never met her till today. We've talked on the phone a couple of times. And I can't seem to be able to get to Red Wing to go over the books that I've got with the family history. But she came today. So I want to welcome you here today, Becky. And with that being said, if you got a bulletin today, I hope you've looked it over, and some of the things that you'll find in there is that the women's Bible study meets this Tuesday at 9:30. They're doing a study on the Holy Spirit. And then there's the ladies that get together and pray in the church library, and they have a lot of different prayer requests that they actually pray for. I'm thankful for that because it's a big ministry. It'd be nice if you filled up that room so full you had to find another room. It'd be wonderful. And so if you have a desire to ever pray or to join them, please, by all means, go ahead and do that. Find them in the church library. And then on Wednesday, we have Joy Kids, a ministry to the kids at school. Once they get out of school, they kind of come over here. Thank you so much for those of you that come and make a little snack for them. You make bread sandwiches and different chips and things like that. We're so grateful for you that do that because some of you are very faithful in doing that. And we want you to know that we really appreciate what you do and the time you give to that. It'd be easier to say, well, I'm just going to stay home today. But you do not say that. You come very faithfully. And the kids sometimes have no idea all that you go through to provide for them. And even those of you that teach them different things from the Bible and spending time with them, playing games with them, and all those things, we really appreciate that as a church. I want you to know that we do not take that lightly. So that takes place this Wednesday. We are in Lent, the time of Lent. So we meet at, well, there's a supper at 5 o'clock this Wednesday. And I want you to know that Becky Rowe is still in need of some help. Starting at 11 o'clock on Wednesday, if somebody could help her put the meal together, contact her. You know, if you don't have her phone, contact the church and we'll give you the phone number. But she says she needs two more people to help with the supper that will be provided on Wednesday night. And it's going to be at 5 o'clock. And just to make sure that you know that, everyone is welcome to come at 5 o'clock this Wednesday for supper. And a part of that is to get to know the kids. And if any of the parents come, get to know who they are. Ian?
We're going to try grilling, so if it's not snowing, we're going to grill burgers for supper.
Okay.
So I encourage everybody to come.
Okay, sounds good. Sounds great. And then, just give Becky a call. If you can help her, that would be much, much appreciated. She would love that as well. The blessing box is up on the side of the church. How many have seen the blessing box? How many of you have taken something out of there? Well, good. I mean, you can't come on. But if you provided for it, thank you, too, for bringing your different kinds of goodies that can be put in there. And it's open 24 hours, 24/7. People can come help themselves what they need in the community, and especially with inflation happening, it's probably going to be a bigger need than ever before. So you do find that there's some of the kids that come Wednesday night, when they leave, they take something out of there, and we kind of, not that we look for that, but we just go like, yeah, those are families that sure could use some extra help. And so we just tell them, hey, help yourself, and just make sure you eat it. Meditated. I'd like to also thank the church for a new mic. First time today, get to use it. I shouldn't have a mic that goes way out here now or down here. Or looking for it, I can't find it. But it sounds pretty good to me, Steve, on how we're going here. And so that's just let you know that Wayne Sunday did have surgery in Rochester. He should be coming home today, recovering from that heart surgery that had taken place. He's got a couple more ahead of him, but he seemed to be doing fine. He called me on Friday, and I'm going like, Wayne, what are you calling me for? You should be resting. Or, all right, are you still on anesthesia? But I talked to him, and he just sounded like himself, and I just go like, wow, it's amazing. So he said he feels the prayers, thanks to people for praying for him. And there's probably others in our midst that could use prayer too. Elmer, we see that Elmer is here. We're glad for that as well. And let's just look to the Lord in prayer this morning before I turn it back over to the praise band here. Heavenly Father, we thank you for those who have come back to Harbor Joint that have been gone for most of the winter. Oh, it must have been good to soak in those rays and pick oranges off trees. Think about how cold it is back there in Iowa. But Lord, we miss them. We're glad that they tuned in on us by Zoom. And we know that there'll be more that will be coming back as well. So may you bless them as they come back into the church family. And Lord, we pray for those that are going through some struggles, some that are going through surgeries, healing up from them. Think, Lord, of Tammy Ebel, particularly too, Lord, and just needing a liver transplant. And the things that Mark, her husband, has gone through the last few months has been just incredible. So sometimes, Lord, we just don't know how to pray or what to pray for anymore. But we know that you know the needs that exist in that home. And Lord, we also know that a liver is not an easy thing to find that will be able to be used in a surgery to help another person get back to a life that they've never known or haven't seen for many, many years. So be with Mark and Tim in a very special way here today. And may they know that you, Lord, are in control of all things. And so I'm just thinking there's other people here, Lord, that need prayer. You know who they are. You know it's in every heart that's here today. Come this morning. Put your arms around each and every one that's here today. Reassurance that there's nothing to fear and that you have all things in your hands today and every day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Christ is good news. Our confession and forgiveness order that we have today is one that comes every first Sunday of the month when we have communion. And, everyone is invited to come as the Lord invites everyone to come to his table. And so in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires are known. It's kind of scary, isn't it? He knows everything about us. And from whom no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and that's good news. Let's take some time right now in silence where you can go to the Lord and talk to him. Confess your sins if the Holy Spirit brings anything to your mind or what you need forgiveness for. And let him just come and speak to your heart this morning. So let's take some time of silence to do this. Shall we? Lord, our sins are many. We could be here for hours versus just a few minutes in confessing things that your Holy Spirit brings to our mind, to our hearts. Your word tells us that even though our sins are like scarlet, through your forgiveness you will make them as white as snow. We come today, Lord, because we acknowledge that we are sinners. We need your grace in our lives. And we need your power to live for you. Thank you for hearing the prayers that have gone up to you today. The confessions, the praises. Lord, we are so concerned about time as we live in America that if we go past an hour, it seems like we've got to get on and do some other things with our lives. But this is a very important time for us today as we want to meet you. We have no idea what it's like to be a believer in Ukraine. Those who are still there, those who still will worship you, even if they hear sounds of bombs and gunfire. Probably meeting in basements somewhere. Not knowing if they will even live or survive this day or in the next few moments. Lord, you are there, just like you are here. May you protect them. May they sense your presence with them, even in times of great fear and of being in danger. We ask the same thing here this morning for us. And so we say, most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin.
And you have not for yourselves,
We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in your mercy, you have given us your Son, who has laid down his life for us, so that we may have forgiveness for our sins. Because of him, we praise your name.
Amen.
Amen.
The song we share together now includes three hymns or songs of praise. And I combine them because the power of the lyrics, nothing but the blood, what can wash away my sin, your rugged cross, and the flawless. So you'll notice that there'll be three different songs, but they go one into the other.
Thank you.
hear God's word this morning. It comes from Luke chapter 20, verses 9 through 19. Luke 20, 9 through 19. He, referring to Jesus, went on to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard, rented it to some farmers, and went away for a long time. At harvest time, he sent the servant to the tenants so they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. He sent another servant, but that one also they beat and treated shamefully and sent away empty-handed. He still sent a third, and they wounded him and threw him out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my son, whom I love. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they talked the matter over. "This is the heir," they said. "Let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When the people heard this, they said, "May this never be." Jesus looked directly at them and asked, "Then what is the meaning of that which is written? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed." The teachers of the law and the chief priests looked for a way to arrest him immediately because they knew he had spoken this parable against them, but they were afraid of the people. Heavenly Father, help us to focus on the meaning of this parable in which you gave to some religious guys who knew what you were saying when you spoke it. Lord, may there be a response even here, in this place, in this sanctuary, in this church today, of have we really rejected Jesus Christ in our lives? Or have we accepted him and respected him by making him our Lord and Savior as well? Be with us now, Lord, as we hear your word given to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Do you really want to hear this? The premise is that Jesus has been challenged by what authority he has in what he has done in Jerusalem. This is Holy Week. He has entered into Jerusalem on a donkey, so we know that that's a triumphant entrance into Jerusalem. That we call that Palm Sunday, which is actually next Sunday. From there, he went to the temple and he overturned the tables in the temple and ran out the money changers. And he said that this is my Father's house, this is a place of prayer, it's not a Walmart. Now you have to keep in mind that what Jesus just did there caused great concern to the high priest, who was Caiaphas, who's a Sadducee, because the Sadducees, they ran this whole operation of what went on in the temple. Because they would get a cut of the money that the money changers, who always charge more than what they should have, And they're in a place where they should never have been. They should never have been in the temple to do this. There was a place for them to be. It's lower down from the temple. And so when Jesus chased them out, it not only affected the money changers who were there, but it also affected the Sadducees, the high priests, Caiaphas and Annas, because that's a group of people that benefited from the money that came in at that time. And so they're the ones who kind of say, like, Jesus, who gives you the authority to do this? Who do you think you are? And so Jesus answers them then with this parable. It's a parable that as religious leaders that they were, and they were Pharisees and teachers of the law, they would know exactly what Jesus is saying here, because you go back to Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. And if you read that, you get a little bit of the background of why Jesus gives them this parable, because they would know this. A man planted a vineyard. Now we know that the man who plants a vineyard, according to Isaiah, it would be God himself. He took some ground that had nothing there, was nothing really there, but he made it into something productive. Calls it a vineyard, and that's really, the Israelites are known as God's vineyard. The people of God, the Israelites, are God's vineyard. The house of Israel. And the farmers, or the tenants, are the religious leaders of the day. And so God provides farmers, he provides the vineyard, and then he went away for a long time. At harvest time, he sent the servant. You kind of go like, well, it's kind of a harmless request. Any owner of a vineyard would want to go, well, how are things going back in this vineyard that I made happen and rented it out? And I'd just like to see what kind of harvest is going to be there. So just send a servant, you know, bring back a clump of grapes. I can kind of just taste them and test them out to see if it's going to be a good crop this year or not. Well, when the servant went to these guys and asked for a sample of the harvest, he got something he didn't expect. They beat him up, and then they sent him away without anything. Can you imagine that? And so the owner of the vineyard says, well, send another servant. And he does, and they treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And so what you find here is a progression of one bad thing. It gets continually worse on how this goes. The third servant that he sends, they wounded him. It doesn't say how, but of course this is a parable. Jesus is trying to make a point by telling the story. They wounded this servant, the third one he sends, and they threw him out. He said, get out of here. We don't care who you are, where you come from, but just get out of here. We've heard enough of you. We don't want you around. Well, then what is the owner of the vineyard to do? He goes, I'll send my son, whom I love very much. They won't treat him the same way they treated my other servants. And so he sends them his son, who he loves very much, hoping that they will respect him. Oh, how wrong. How wrong he is. I don't know how these guys knew it was the owner's son that came to them. And I don't know why they'd even think, like, okay, let's kill him, and then we will receive the inheritance. We will get all of this property and this land and this vineyard for ourselves. I have no idea how they come to that conclusion. But that's what their thinking is. And so they take the owner's son, they take him outside of the vineyard, and they and they kill him. Now you kind of know who he's talking about here, don't you? It's kind of how they treat Jesus, God's only son. And then Jesus says something to them that for the first time we hear a reaction from the people. He says, what then will the owner of the vineyard do to those who killed his son, who treated his servants that he sent prior to him? He will come and kill those tenants, those renters, those farmers, and give the vineyard to others. And it says here, when the people heard this, they said, may this never be. When he says that you're going to kill them and then give the vineyard to some others, that's when you hear response. The others that Jesus is referring to, it's not Jewish people. He's going to give the vineyard to the Gentiles. And that's the reaction. The Jews did not like Gentiles. And then Jesus says, he looks at them directly, and he asks them, then what is the meaning of that which is written? The stone that builders rejected has become the capstone. And he's using Psalm 118, verse 22. And he says, everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, but he whom that stone falls on will be crushed. And so the teachers of the law, when they hear Jesus give this parable, and the chief priest, their reaction right away is, we got to arrest this guy. We got to shut him up. We got to do something about this guy. But they knew, because they knew that this parable was about them. It was against them. And yet they didn't want to do anything rash because they were afraid of the people. So that's kind of the whole story again that you hear for the second time. Just a little different way. It goes from bad to worse. When you look at this parable. And prior to this portion of scripture, Jesus asked these guys, he's talking about John the Baptist. He said, tell me. He asked a question to them, tell me. Was John's baptism, was it from heaven or from men? And so they would talk this over. And they go like, hey, we gotta be careful here. Because if we say that's from heaven, then Jesus will ask them, well, why didn't you believe in him? If we say that it was from man, then all the people will stone us because they are persuaded that John was a prophet. And a prophet is a mouthpiece of God. It's something, someone who God has sent, that we may hear what is on God's heart and mind. A prophet. And so their answer really to Jesus then is kind of like, well, we'll play the middle part, the middle of the road. We don't know. You don't know. And then Jesus said to them, well, then I won't tell you either. But he tells them this parable, and this parable speaks a lot of truth. The capstone that is referred to in Psalm 118, the capstone is something that would be like on an arch, and it's the one in the very middle that keeps it from collapsing. The capstone is kind of right on the very top, it's in the middle, it holds it all together, or some will refer to it as the cornerstone, which would be if the cornerstone is off, if it's not square, then the rest of the foundation will not be square either. It's very important that you have a good solid foundation, a good cornerstone. Anybody who has done any building knows that that's very important, where your corner's got to be square. From one side to the opposite side. Or it's just not going to last. Jesus, the psalmist, is talking about the Messiah that is to come will be that person. He'll be like a capstone or the cornerstone. If you reject the capstone, the cornerstone, it's a very serious matter. It's very serious. If you believe in the cornerstone, who is Jesus Christ, you believe in the capstone, who is Jesus Christ, that's where God wants you to be. So, in conclusion, what does this say for us today? Oh, here's the hard part. I've got to tell you this. How many pastors have you listened to in your lifetime? How many sermons have you heard throughout your lives? Did God send you messengers? Did he send you servants that you're to listen to? And of course, that's where the importance of God's word is. Is what you have heard from the pastors, does it come from God's word or not? It has to line up. It's got to match. What have you done with the messengers or the pastors that God has sent to you in your life? Chew on that for a little while. Because we can be a lot like the farmers, can't we? The tenants, the renters. I know a person who said, I don't like that pastor. And the reason he did not like that pastor was because he spoke the truth. Didn't want to hear the truth. He'd rather have someone come and say that, oh, you guys are such nice people. You look so nice. You know, I wish there'd be more people like you in the community. You do everything right, and you have a conscience. If you do something wrong, you admit it, or you feel bad that you've done that. But you're still good folks. And you're going to go to heaven because you're a lot better than a lot of people in this community because you're here today. There are pastors who are like that. There are some who even say, well, you've been baptized, you've been confirmed. Hey, what are you talking about? You're not sure if you're going to heaven. You're there. Not free of fear. I always say to people, where are you at today in your relationship with Jesus Christ? It's great that you once were baptized. It's great that you've been confirmed. It's great that you maybe went to a Bible camp and rededicated your life type of thing at a bonfire some night or do some songs or some sharing. That's good stuff, but it still comes down, where are you at today? Because those things didn't happen a long time ago. Where are you at today with Jesus? That's the big question. Rejecting Jesus, as I've said before, has severe consequences. He is the one who holds everything together. He is the one that makes everything square and straight. You respect him by following him by faith. Does that mean we will never sin again? No. Does it mean that we will fail? Yes. Now, don't pastors live the perfect life? No. Do pastors sin? Yes. Does a pastor need forgiveness? Yes. You'd be surprised there's some kids who sometimes think the pastor is a perfect guy. Some people think that, but it's not true. I'm a sinner just like you. I need God's forgiveness just like you need his forgiveness. if our reaction is the same as we find in verse 19, then we should be concerned. Not concerned about being stoned by people or people being upset with you. Because people will be upset with you if you follow what's in His Word today. Let's just pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, may Jesus be the capstone or the cornerstone of our lives here today. We know, Lord, that the psalmist talks about that there can be some, whoever falls on this stone can have some broken bones, can be broken into pieces. But that can always, bones can always mend. It's not a fatal thing to fall on you. What is fatal and determines an eternal separation from you is if we do not believe in you and this capstone, the cornerstone, falls on us. It says it will crush whomever it falls on. That's fatal. So it all comes back to believing by faith and trusting in Jesus Christ and who He says He is, the Savior of the world. A number of people testified to that fact. John the Baptist was the first who said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." We have the Apostle Paul, who just completely is sold out to Jesus when he once was an enemy and persecuted believers and Christians in his life, and he thought he was doing God a favor. But when he met Jesus, and Jesus changed him from the inside out, the same kind of change that we need today here as well, a change from the inside, from our hearts, that will come out of us in our actions and how we look at life and see what's important in life through Christ's eyes and not our own. So Lord, thank you for coming here today and meeting us and speaking to our hearts and our lives. And it prepares us, Lord, as we come before your table today. It prepares us to know what we need to do. We need to come and receive your forgiveness today through your body and through your blood. I need to spend a little time at the railing today, at the before the altar, and just talk with you about the way that I've been dealing with things lately or how I've been treating people. Lord, use this time that will make a difference in our hearts and in our lives today. May we leave different than the way we came in through the doors today, knowing that we have spent time with you, and that you did not chase us away, you did not take us outside the church to reprimand us or to kill us, but you came as a friend, as you always do, filled with love and forgiveness, reassuring us that you care about us and how much you love us. That's what changes us. Help us to be more like Jesus. We pray in His name. Amen. just want you to know a little something. If you're new here today and never been here at Harbor of Joy for a communion service, just want you to know a few things. That you're invited, anyone's invited to come. You don't have to be a member of the church of Harbor, but there'll be someone that will, have ushers that will tell you you can go, come up front. There's two places, there's two stations. If you want to come up here and just receive the bread and the wine, you put your cup in that little basket there. You can do it that way. And if you just want, if you don't want wine, hold your hand like this, and they'll give you grape juice. If you want to come up front, you'll be served at the railing. You can kneel at the railing, spend as much time as you want there, and just talk to the Lord. Leave when you want to. If you can't kneel, then stand. It's okay to stand. And so you'll be dismissed from row to row, but you're more than welcome to be a part of our communion service today. We just ask that you know that Jesus is your Savior. He's your Lord. You've given your life to Him. You want to follow Him. And you want to serve Him. And if you haven't done that, well, today's a good day to begin. Say, well, today, I'm tired of playing games with the Lord. I want to get serious here. Do what I know I should have done a long time ago. You can do that today too. Just saying, Lord, forgive me. But from here on out, I'm looking to you to help me to live for you and to be your servant. So, let us hear what Jesus said to his disciples on the night in which he was betrayed. He took bread. And he said to his disciples, "This is my body given for you. Eat it, eat all of it, in remembrance of me." And so he broke it. And he gave it to each of his disciples to eat. After that, he took the cup. And he said, "This is my blood, given for you. Drink all of it in remembrance of me until I come again." And so they did. It's after this is that they went out. They sang a song together. And they went out into the dark of the night to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus is betrayed by Judas Iscariot, who leads a mob of people who arrest Jesus. But Jesus invites us to come today, believing, trusting. He's given us his body. He's given us his blood as we think of what he did on the cross. And he wants to give to us faith, reassurance, strengthen our faith today for what lies ahead this week and this month. So the Lord invites you to come. I will ask the servers to come. And when the servers are ready, then you will be dismissed to come up if you like.
Thank you.
Let us stand, recite the apostles' creed together. Maybe. If you know it, follow along with me. I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, He rose again from the dead.
He ascended into hell and is seated at the right hand of the Father.
He will come again to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. Our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, who has now given you His holy body and blood, through which He has made full satisfaction for all your sins, may He strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto everlasting life. Let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught His disciples to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Receive the benediction that comes from Acts, chapter 4. He, referring to Jesus, is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Amen.